Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
Good morning and welcome to Holiness Helpers, our half hour with Pro-Sanctity. This is Joan Patton, an apostolic oblate with the Pro-Sanctity, here today to talk about saints fully human, fully alive. The Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates, consecrated to redemptive love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. As I said, my name is Joan Patton, and I am joined here today with
Carter Lohman.
Carter, yes.
How are you doing, Joan?
Very good. Thanks for coming on today.
You're welcome.
Can you tell us who you are?
I'm a student at University of Nebraska at Omaha. I'm involved with FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and I live with four other gentlemen and in a formation house where we pray together and go to Mass together, and our patron saint is actually Saint Augustine, so we call it the Augustine House.
Very good, and that's great. And I asked Carter to join us on the show today to talk about saints and really how saints inspire one another and help each other get to heaven. And sometimes as friends of the same century and sometimes centuries apart, not limited by time, but all being united in the one body of Christ. And so the fact that Carter is living in a formation house for young men, they're all helping each other get to heaven, which is great. That holiness, that saintly companionship is already happening now. And so with that great experience, he's going to be here telling us about a few saints he's discovered who have helped each other get to heaven. So that will be our topic for today, looking at the saints' fully human friendships and how they were able to use all the gifts and talents and limitations that they had in order to become saints, become holy, but also bring people along with them. Well, before we begin our discussion, why don't we just ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, and praying in the words of our founder, Bishop Jacinta, we pray, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. We also ask the intercession of all of the saints whom we will be speaking about today. Well, I'd like to begin with the two saints that I brought along with me. I have recently discovered St. Anthony of Padua in a whole new way. We're all familiar with St. Anthony. He is the saint who helps us find stuff. And I have been praying to St. Anthony since I was 9. I think he was one of the first saints that I was aware of that I could pray to and get to know about. And losing things all the time. So he's a very close friend. But I didn't know anything else about his life. You know, we see statues of him in the church all the time because everybody loves St. Anthony. But I'd never realized really what he had been through and how he became the patron saint of lost things and how he became a Franciscan until I came across a book called St. Anthony, The Man Who Found Himself. So there's a reason, a great reason that he is the patron saint of lost things, because he was looking for something even bigger than your car keys or your cell phone or whatever else we lost. He was looking for his own vocation. And he began his life in a rather well-off family, and he joined the Augustines. Yeah. And as a scholar, and that particular order, you know, was very theologically centered. They studied a lot and were preachers, and he enjoyed that, but he was not happy. He was very restless, and he didn't know why. And one day, this merry band of Franciscans came into town, and he was just captivated by St. Francis of Assisi's spirit and freedom and poverty. And he noticed that St. Francis of Assisi had something he wanted. And so, you know, he watched them for a long time and then finally approached them and basically asked to join their order. And that transition process was a little rough, but he joined their order, and the Franciscans didn't know what to do with him. And I don't remember all the details, but I do remember he was assigned to kitchen work and, you know, wasn't really looked upon as somebody, as a great asset. They just, you know, had him wash the floors and take care of things, and no one really talked to him that much. So no one really discovered what his gifts were at first. And St. Francis of Assisi was very busy trying to keep his order together because it was new at the time, and he was trying to figure out what he needed to do to write their constitution and keep all the Franciscans on the same page. And it was expanding like crazy, and so he was a little overwhelmed. Well, one day, St. Anthony was at church, and the preacher became ill and could not preach. And for some reason, St. Anthony was the only person who could do it. So they sent him up there, and he gave this glorious homily, and everybody was blown away that the kitchen monk was able to speak these great words. And they began to realize the gifts that he did have and began to invite him into helping the Franciscans really not reform their order, but make it on a better foundation, make it more solid. And so there was this one issue among the Franciscans, whether they should actually study theology or not. Was that a sign of riches, or was it against the rule of poverty to actually own books and to study? And St. Anthony was convinced that they needed to study. Francis had the charism of preaching and the Holy Spirit, but the rest of the monks needed to have some theological foundation in order to preach the Word of God. And so St. Anthony began to help the Franciscans study, and he taught classes and helped them even learn how to read at certain points. And he began to find, you know, a place for himself and, you know, how to use his gifts. And it was so great because St. Francis of Assisi needed him as well. And so St. Anthony would advise him on their meetings and how the best way to organize the Franciscans, really. He had a great mind for that. But St. Anthony was still restless. He wanted to do something even more for God. And he was looking at St. Francis of Assisi, and he idolized St. Francis of Assisi. And he wanted to be just like him. And so he decided he wanted to be a martyr. He wanted to go to the Arab countries and convert the Moors until they killed him. So that was his plan. That was his new plan. And he was all set to go. And so he went along with another friar, and they were traveling along, and if I remember right, St. Anthony became sick. So he was delayed. He really wanted to be a martyr. And as they were traveling, and the other friar said, "Anthony, what would happen? What happens if God doesn't want you to be a martyr?" St. Anthony was like, no, I'm convinced I'm going to be a martyr. And so he got better, and they kept traveling. They finally got to this place of an Arab king. And St. Anthony went out and just challenged his faith and was trying to get him very angry so he would kill him. And the king was very cool and basically said, "You know, I don't believe you at first." But he also told Anthony, "I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to make you a martyr." He told him that flat out. And St. Anthony was crushed. He didn't know what to do. This was his chance to be a martyr. And they're not killing him. Now what? So he headed home defeated, asking what was he supposed to do now. Well, he had been inspired by another Franciscan friar who actually was a martyr, who was killed earlier in the years, but had been a friend of St. Anthony. And this friend appeared to him in a dream and said, "Anthony, what are you doing?" And St. Anthony told him, "You know, I wanted to be a martyr just like you, and nothing happened." And so this saint, this Franciscan friar, who of course is a saint, reminded him you know, what is God asking you to do? What is God's will? And St. Anthony had to go back and look at what God is asking him to do. And he had this number of gifts that the Franciscans needed. But he went back to be with the Franciscans. And he actually lived to be quite old and died, I believe, a natural death in his 80s or 90s. So, but he died and lived the rest of his life in great peace. And it's just so great that peace is that sign that we are doing God's will. We are doing what we're being asked to do. And so I just think it's a great story that we know these two saints, St. Francis and St. Anthony, but the fact that they helped each other get to heaven in a very almost an ordinary way. They used their what they had been called to do in their particular vocations and using their gifts, and even their own misunderstandings and limitations helped each other be able to need that other person. And so it just gives me great joy that to see the saints in their own struggles. I'm not saying like, oh, I feel good that he was struggling, but it gives me hope because I go through some of those things. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. And he has a couple ironies in his life as well. He was a restless Augustinian.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee.
He learned well.
And it's just funny that he was too sick to be a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's great. Yeah. But God has an even bigger plan than ours, and it is so much better. And it's our friends and the saints that remind us of that sometimes when we start to become too full of ourselves or start to step ahead of Jesus. Jesus is preparing the way for us. Sometimes we just want to pass him on the highway, but we have to stay with him and follow him. Yes. Mm-hmm. So St. Anthony and St. Francis. Now you brought along two saints as well.
I did. Mine are actually, yours both lived right next to each other.
Yes.
Actually. And mine were St. Jerome and St. Teresa of Avila.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived 1,000 years apart or more.
Sure.
But I was going to share St. Jerome's story. I don't know too much about him, but I've been getting to know him. Of course, everyone knows he's responsible for the Latin Vulgate. He was a translator primarily. Became fluent in Latin and Greek. But he learned Hebrew just for the sake of translating the Old Testament. He was just in love with learning, it seemed like. And he had a lot of virtue in that. But also, he was sort of plagued with almost a short temper or a satirical sort of tone. So that really comes alive in his letters, which I haven't read too much of, but a few excerpts of his letters to St. Jerome, or St. Ambrose, rather, and St. Augustine, whom he lived at the same time with in the 4th century.
And his letters inspired...
Oh, yeah, his letters inspired, actually, St. Teresa of Avila, who was of the same sort of mentality, I guess.
Strong personality, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They're both saints, but they both made a lot of enemies as well. Or at least St. Jerome did. And St. Teresa, I guess. So St. Teresa was affected by St. Jerome's letters when she was discerning whether she should go into the religious life. And she ended up deciding to, obviously. She became a prioress.
And if I remember, I love St. Teresa of Avila's story, too, because she also was very human. she struggled a lot with vanity and pride. And in spite of her strong personality and temper as well, and she also had a very witty, dry sense of humor, which I believe she could probably relate to St. Jerome in that sense. She was able to overcome it. And at the same time, I can see that strong personality being necessary for her to reform the Carmelites that she did. But as she entered the the Carmel and was seeing all the problems that were going on, for she was participating in them, you know. They were having outside guests in all the time, which was against the rule, and they had just excess possessions, and the sisters were
gossipy.
Yeah, the chatty little sisters gossiping about one another. You know, it was not the spirit of the Carmel. And so after a while, St. Teresa realized that and was able to start to go against that, you know, to go against herself too, as well, to go against her own inclinations to, I'm sure, gossip and enjoy the pleasures of the world and things like that. But to see God was calling her to do this, to reform the Carmel, to make it as it had been and should be. And she faced a lot of opposition in doing that. But at the same time, she succeeded in doing that because, of course, God provides the grace for whatever he's asking us to do. And we discovered that she loved to play chess. And I just love that. That, like, here's the saint. Here's something you could have in common with the saint. Do you like to play chess? Saint Teresa loved to play chess. Now, they were not allowed to play board games, competitive games in the Carmel. So she had to give up chess when she entered the Carmel. But she used it as an analogy to teach about prayer. And I remember she apologized to her sisters for bringing up this vanity as she was teaching them. But this is who God gave them, so they were stuck with her and her and all her weaknesses. But the analogy is great. Do you remember
it? I was actually reading The Way of Perfection, mm-hmm. in which she uses the analogy. She calls the greatest queen humility, and she describes how we're sort of trying to capture the king, the divine king,
mm-hmm.
In a way. And he wants to be captured. So that's Jesus, of course. And she also sort of talks about, well, let me just read a quote from her.
Go ahead.
She says, "But contemplation, daughters, is another matter. This is an error which we all make. If a person gets so far as to spend a short time each day in thinking about his sins, as he is bound to do if he is a Christian in anything more than name, people at once call him a great contemplative, and then they expect him to have the rare virtues which a great contemplative is bound to possess. He may even think he has them himself, but he will be quite wrong. In his early stages, he did not even know how to set out the chessboard, and thought that, in order to give checkmate, it would be enough to be able to recognize the pieces. But that is impossible, for this king does not allow himself to be taken except by one who surrenders wholly to him." Now, if you surrendered wholly in chess, you would lose. So it's not completely, accurate, I guess. But still, in the way that she says, if you recognize your sins,
mm-hmm.
it does not automatically give you the virtue. You have to keep praying and surrender yourself wholly to Jesus to obtain those skills of virtue.
Mm-hmm. And then practice that comes too. Yeah. You can't win at chess if you don't practice, I noticed. and I know she talks about being able to not only know the chess pieces, but to know basically how they work. I mean, if we know chess, you know, every piece has a different way to move and it cannot move certain ways. And St. Teresa uses that as an analogy for learning how to pray as well. We have to know the tools of prayer in order to be able to pray. And so she's giving her sisters that, you know, this very simple lesson. And that's what the saints do. They teach us how to discover God in ordinary ways, just like they did in their lives, and they who went through the same struggles as us. It's just so great that we have these big brothers and sisters now, basically teaching us how to be human,
mm-hmm.
but how to be human in the way that God wants us to be human, which is to be a saint. God, who perfected our humanity and who calls us to that perfection, to calls us to imitate that perfection. And again, like I said, it supplies the grace to do it. And St. Teresa of Avila's love for chess, just again, a very simple, ordinary thing, inspired St. Teresa of Lisieux, who also became a Carmelite and saw St. Teresa, again, centuries later, who saw St. Teresa of Avila as, you know, her mother, basically, of the Carmel, even though she didn't live during that time. But St. Therese of Lisieux loved chess as well. And, you know, she was a very spoiled little girl and loved to play chess with her dad. She had to give up chess also when she entered the Carmel, and that was hard for her because it was a child game for her. She had to give up a lot of things, but that was one thing that she struggled with. But she found consolation in the fact that her mother, St. Teresa of Avila, had loved chess also, and therefore it wasn't a bad thing. And she was able to even give it up because St. Teresa of Avila gave it up also. Mm-hmm. And so it's again, just exciting to see the saints inspiring each other, reaching across the century to one another as well, to pull them up further towards God. And they want to do that to us also. And so my invitation for this week is just to, again, become always more closer to the saints, but to look at those very ordinary things about the saints. I love finding out simple facts about the saints, discovering that St. Maria Goretti, of course, she was very young, also was a very bad cook. There was a story in her life where she burned dinner. I burned dinner. I can be like St. Maria Goretti in a very beginning way, but I'm called to be even more like her, you know, in being convinced that of my own holiness, just like she was. You know, so I invite you to discover more about your favorite saint or maybe a new saint, but begin with their life and see how God entered their life again in ordinary ways and how they were able to sometimes overcome those imperfections or sometimes even have God work through them in ways that nobody saw coming. So that's a great ongoing invitation for all of us, especially as we anticipate November 1st coming up, the feast day for the Universal Call to Holiness, which is a very important day for the pro-sanctity movement. And so I just want to close with an invitation to everybody to start asking God what his plan is for you for holiness. He wants you to be holy. We all know that. It's in Scripture. It's in Lumen Gentium. Everybody is called to be holy. But what does that mean for you? How is God inviting you to be holy? And what grace do you need today to be a saint? I invite you to just pause with that and ask the saints in our Blessed Mother's intercession for you to be able to receive that, especially as we prepare for November 1st. I also want to invite everybody to participate in our November 1st celebration. This year it will be at St. Margaret Mary's on 61st then Dodge at 7 o'clock on November 1st. We will be having a holy hour with our Archbishop Lucas, and following that will be a small reception. So all are invited because everyone is called to be holy. So I hope to see you there. We'd just like to close in prayer now, and thank you, Carter, for coming and talking to us about your two friends.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Hopefully they will continue to inspire you as well. Because, you know, the final invitation is our lives should be a source of inspiration and holiness for others today and centuries later. So hopefully someday somebody will be reading about St. Carter. So we'll just leave you with that. So what you do today matters. So we continue to ask the saints' intercession, and we ask our Lord to be with us. Jesus, divine master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother, and our mother. Amen. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro-Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro-Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.